And also, I'm always telling my students when I'm teaching them in my course, Intuition and Beyond, I'm always telling them, usually, not all the time, but I would say the majority of the time, if intuition is guiding you just to do something, it is time dependent. And you will lose out on something if you don't do it. And so when all of these people, and maybe like some listeners are feeling this too, like when they're saying, whatever, it's not a big deal. I'm just going to ignore it this time because I'm scared to, or because it doesn't make sense, or because people are going to think I'm crazy, or because it's hard. Like that is time dependent a lot of times. And there is something you're missing out on, and you are veering off path every time you do that. And it's not to say something terrible is going to happen to you, but it's like you're, I mean, what is for sure happening is you're missing out on the amazing things that could happen if you were to just take the leap and trust yourself and your intuition. Welcome back to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Zeller. I'm very excited about today's episode. Some of my past episodes on intuition have been the most downloaded episodes. And by the way, I am linking all of those past episodes in the show notes. So be sure to check those out after you listen to this one. As you may or may not know, I am an intuition expert. I teach people all over the world how to connect with their intuition, how to grow and strengthen their intuition. I have a 16-week, very popular course on intuition. So it's one of my absolute favorite things to talk about. Today, I am joined by Morgan, my sister-in-law, who is also extremely, extremely intuitive. So we dive all in. We both share some very vulnerable stories, some funny stories. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. As I mentioned, be sure to check out the show notes. I have links for how to connect with me, my courses at thetransformationschool.com, as well as my social media at Stephanie Zeller Speaks on both Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you have a friend or a colleague that you feel could benefit from this episode, be sure to pass it along to them. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe so that you get notified with future episodes. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2025, this is a perfect time to listen to this episode. It's really going to help you this month. And actually, not only that, but this episode is going to help you all through 2025. If you haven't listened to the yearly energy update, which I've also linked below in the show notes, this is what you can expect for the whole year, the themes for the whole year. Be sure to listen to that episode. Intuition is a huge theme of 2025. So bookmark this episode, come back to it again and again. It's really going to help you. Can't wait for you to listen. So without further ado, enjoy the episode.
Okay, so I'm going to open this with a quote from the Dalai Lama. Sometimes not getting what you want is a wonderful stroke of luck, divine timing disguised as a detour. I wanted to dive into using your intuition to make big decisions and also how to listen to your intuition even when it's asking you to do something absurd or insane. I think a lot of people, a lot of listeners maybe might struggle with making those seemingly crazy decisions based on just trusting in themselves. To start off, I wanted to ask you, which intuitively led trust fall type of decision was scariest for you in your life? And maybe it wouldn't be scariest to you looking at it now, but in the moment, it was terrifying.
I'm sure a specific instance will come to me, but what comes to mind immediately is more so the beginning of when I started trusting my intuition and taking big leaps, or as you said, trust falls. At the beginning of doing that, my trust muscle wasn't very strong. So doing those in the beginning, I would say for the first like year or two, they all felt really, really scary. And now, like I've made so many big moves and changes in the last 8-ish years. And although they may be hard to actually do them because there's just like a lot to them, or they may initially cause some tension or some fear or something, I really don't feel like any of them are hard now. Like, for instance, I just had, when I was living in LA a couple of years ago, I woke up one morning and it was like, I just heard move to Austin. And it was like, move to Austin now. And within 2 weeks, we had a house picked out and we're packing up our stuff. And I had no reason why I need, like, I didn't know why my intuition was guiding me to move to Austin. There was no obvious reason to do that. But my trust muscle was so strong then that I didn't think twice about it and it didn't actually feel hard. When I think back to, I mean, it's so interesting because the situation that's coming to mind right now is one that I think is actually really insane. But one of the biggest trust falls that I did early on was when I was in school, higher schooling, I was really sick and I hadn't studied for this test. And when I was in class, this guy sitting next to me started looking off of my paper during the test. And I actually knew that he did really well on test, and he kind of scooted his paper towards mine. And because I knew that I was so unprepared for that test, I cheated and I looked at his answers because I knew he was going to have them. And that was the first time I'd ever cheated on a test. So I end up doing decent on that test, but then I get this letter or email or something that says I'm being called to this council because this guy was suspected of cheating and that I was sitting next to him. So I needed to go appear before the council and tell my side of the story of if I knew he was cheating off of me or not.
Oof.
And my intuition told me to tell them that I cheated. And like, I wasn't the one being investigated. Like, no one suspected me of cheating. But my intuition was like, you need to tell them that you cheated. And so this was like weighing really, really heavy on me. And I remember I called a mentor of mine at the time. And this is someone who I thought was in a lot of integrity and who I really trusted. And he told me that that was insane for me to do that, and that I should not do that, and that that would be insane, and that, I wasn't being investigated and I should just not cheat again and just go about my life. And like, that's what everyone else would do. But my intuition was telling me to do this. And at the time, I was really trying to trust my intuition. And that's the interesting thing is like when you start trying to trust your intuition, like once you really know what your intuition is versus fear or thinking, et cetera, and then you start trusting your intuition will call you to take bigger and bigger leaps. Like not all of them necessarily like this one, but in order to grow your intuition will ask you to take those bigger leaps. So I decided to do this to come clean. So I went to the teacher of the class, and I remember I had written this like confession statement or something like on a piece of paper. And I remember walking down the hall to his office and I could see my heart beating out of my chest. Like I was so terrified. And I walked in and I was shaking like really bad. And I just take out my statement and I just start reading like, I'm so ashamed of this. And I've never cheated before, but I did cheat on this test. And I just feel like I have to tell you. So I'm reading the statement. I can feel my voice shaking. My hands are shaking. I'm like sweating. I can see my literally, I don't think I've ever since then seen my heart beating out of my chest like I did then. And I remember looking up at him after I read the statement, and his face was so kind. And he just looked like he wanted to give me a hug. And he was like, "Thank you so much for being honest. That was so brave. But I'm not concerned about you. You're not the one being investigated, but I so appreciate you telling me that. And you can consider yourself forgiven." And I was like, okay, oh my God. And he was like, just let this go, was basically what he told me. And then a couple of weeks later, we actually met with this council. And so this teacher wanted me to just go in and just tell what happened with the guy. But again, my intuition was like, no, you need to go tell this whole council of people what you did also. So again, I bring my statement and I like in front of all these people, take my statement out and I'm shaking. I would say maybe not quite so nervous as the first time, but definitely still scared, like scared out of my mind. And I read the statement. After I read the statement, my teacher, who's in the council, speaks up and says, "I do not want anything to happen to Stephanie. I think she's so brave and courageous for telling us all that. We've all had moments that we aren't proud of," and essentially just proceeds to defend me in front of everyone.
Wow.
And I was shocked. So I leave, and then we have to wait as the council deliberates what's going to happen to everybody that was called to the council.
Was the guy there?
The guy was there, but not in the room with me. So we each had to go
Okay.
in one at a time and just tell. And I was like, yes, this person was next to me, but I want to tell you what I did, right?
Me tell you how I'm guilty.
I think on a previous podcast, I told you I can't lie. This is like a really good example of that. And so I leave, and I'm again just terrified, waiting to hear like what the council, because this could affect me the rest of my life. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know what's going to happen? And then I get a call a couple hours later from the head of the school, and he's like, "We were all so impressed by you."
Oh my gosh. This is crazy. I love it.
By what you did. And we see no further reason to continue this. We all feel that you are in such integrity. And thank you so much for being honest with us.
Wow.
And that situation taught me so much. First of all, it taught me the value of just being honest and in integrity and living from your heart, because people can feel that. People can feel people's heart and when people really are in integrity and when somebody is a trustable person, versus probably the guy that went in who did get a punishment, probably went in and denied it, and everyone could feel it. Really huge contrast, right, between him and I. But it also taught me, I mean, gosh, it taught me so much. Like, first of all, it taught me to trust myself over mentors sometimes, because my mentor, who I thought was in integrity, told me to lie. Well, I mean, lie by omission, essentially, and not share. So it taught me to really trust myself. It taught me that honesty is really always the best way. And it also strengthened that trust muscle in my intuition, because it ended up like those people ended up walking away from that meeting being, I mean, this sounds insane, but actually being more impressed with me because I did this really hard thing than had I gone in.
They respected you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was probably, I mean, still to this day, was probably one of the scariest trust falls that I've done. But it really, like, seeing the outcome of that and feeling like I could walk away from that situation so clear, so in integrity, like I had, in a way, just been seen by a lot of people and also like forgiven by a lot of people. That really left a mark in terms of being able to trust my intuition when it's calling me to do really hard things that sound or feel insane. I always have that to kind of turn back and reflect on and be like, yeah, so did that, but that turned out fine. What about you?
I have a lot of these. I have made a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, crazy decisions that to other people have seemed to be out of nowhere or like blindsided them because just like you were saying, it came to me and I knew that the timing was right for it and it needed to happen. But I would say the scariest was moving back to Kansas City. I woke up, it was July 5th. I remember I woke up after being out with my friends on the 4th of July, and I just knew within the next 6 months for sure, you need to leave LA. And I had no idea where I was going to go. I didn't really have anywhere that I necessarily wanted to go, but I just knew I had to leave. I had to leave my friends and my job and everything I had kind of built there because the next chapter was waiting and it was time. And I think that sounded pretty insane to everyone around me, especially because I didn't have any like problems I was running away from. Yeah, I had no reason to leave. Everything was actually going really well. It was just time to go. And going to Kansas City, like getting that ping, I was like, really? Like, that was the last place. I actually planned a journey out. I thought I wanted to go live in the South of the United States, like be a Southern gem. And I went and like spent a week just going through Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina. And I cried at the end because none of it felt right. And I was like, I know I have to move. And Kansas City came to me. It was like everything I had said I would never do, but I trusted in it and I did it. And it really did kick off the next phase of my life.
Yeah.
I know that wouldn't have happened if I would have stayed in LA.
Yeah.
So then talking about using your intuition, was there ever a time that you intuitively knew that something you were working towards or you wanted, it was not right for you at that time, but you pushed through anyway? Or were there any times that you said to your intuition, okay, you're telling me that this timing isn't right right now. Well, you don't control me. I'm going to make it be right. You know?
No, I actually don't.
That's good.
I've been so trusting in my intuition. I will say that I can, at least not to my recollection, can I recall consciously deciding against my intuition. You know, maybe you can speak to this because I know a lot of people do that. Like, I know a lot of people have struggled with I see my clients do it. Like, their intuition will tell them to do something and they're like, I don't want to do that, or I'm too scared to do that. And they'll do something totally opposite. There may have been a time, you know, 20 years ago when I did that, but it's like so long ago that I don't recall. However, I will say things that I have done plenty of times is not paused to check in with my intuition, or not been aware of what may have been aligned for me, or what my intuition might have guided me to do. And then I just like pushed mindlessly towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking, oh, this is probably what I should do. And then hustled and worked and, you know, tried to force things to happen.
Yeah.
And then they didn't work out, didn't work out, didn't work out, didn't work out. And then after like the 20th time of it not working out, pausing and being like, wait, is this even supposed to work out? Like, is this even an aligned thing for me to be doing? And then feeling into my intuition then and realizing like, it's not aligned, or there's something off about it, and realizing, oh, if I had just asked before I even started, or checked in with my intuition before I even started, rather than just being so certain, this is what I need to be happier, this is what I need to make money, or this is what I need to do for this person to notice me, or whatever it is, going like full steam ahead and then it failing. And I think that's always like, in terms of even timing, you know, when things aren't working out, and you keep trying again and again and again and again and again and again, and everything's failing, 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 failing. That's like oftentimes a red flag of like, whoa, something at least isn't aligned. Maybe not the whole thing is off or wrong, but like there's something about the way you're going about it, or that maybe the timing or something about it is off. And so that's a great time to pause and check in with your intuition.
Yeah.
What about you?
Like you, I haven't really.
Yeah.
I have always deeply listened to my intuition and my dreams, and I've always taken it very seriously, like to the point where, you know, again, like my family or my friends thought I was crazy.
Right.
But I will say the one time that comes to mind that I did try to go back on it in high school, I was 16. I had a very serious boyfriend. We were very serious. Like, he had given me a diamond ring. It was a thing. But I had received the intuitive download that we were not meant to end up together. And I knew that. I didn't want that to be the case, but I knew that. And then one night I had a dream, and in it I received the message of, now is the time. You have to let him go now. And I was kind of under the impression of like, well, why can't I just have this work out until the end of high school? Like, we've got another year left. Why can't I? Because I loved him. I really did. We had a great time together. But it was like, nope, you have to end this a week before prom, which of course, like, I talked to my mom about it and she's like, you can wait. you can wait until after prom. And that was where the timing issue came in. And it was like, okay, am I going to trust this timing based on what my intuition is telling me? Or am I gonna like upset everyone and make this whole prom thing a disaster? Or can I just wait a week? Well, no, I couldn't. I had to listen to my intuition. So I broke up with him. Of course, he was blindsided. And how do you explain to a 16-year-old, I promise you, I see the woman who's in your future and it's not me. And I remember telling him, I love you so much, but who you're meant to be with is not me. It's very important that you end up with this other person. It's not me. And he was like, well, it could be, you know, all of those things. And I had to go with it. So of course, like prom was a disaster. Well, oh, even before prom. Okay. So I made this decision. I did it. The time that I tried to go back on it was we were broken up for a day. And then 2 days later, I was like, I made such a mistake. This timing isn't right. I want to be with him. This is so crazy. What am I doing? So we got back together. And of course, I had to like make him feel like I was so wrong. That's not going to happen again. But then I literally, we had gotten back together. We went and picked out his tux. We were like getting ready for prom. And 2 days before prom, I woke up and I was covered in hives. I was throwing up. I was not sick. It was just that I knew that I messed up by getting back together with him. And that was heartbreaking because how do you then like undo that? Such a bad, messy mistake. So I broke up with him again. It was very hurtful to like everyone involved. And it was because I went back on, I listened to my intuition. And then I told myself, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You don't need to listen. You know, it was a dream. It doesn't need to be right this second. And it just was a feeling like you were describing on our previous podcast, how it made you feel to lie. It made me feel it was that lie. It was like, I'm lying if I'm in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm wasting his time. I am going to ultimately hurt him even more and myself, but I had to do it. And people just thought, you know, I was a really like fucked up mean person.
Well, I want to pause on what you just said though about, I mean, I guess I just want to pause on your overall story because the fact that you woke up sick and with hives and you felt terrible in your body, I think for you, when you don't follow your intuition, your body really, really lets you know, right?
Yes.
I think for a lot of people, when they don't follow their intuition, they think, oh, that doesn't happen to me. Like if I don't follow my intuition, nothing happens. And I see this all the time with clients, like they'll consistently not follow it and then think that nothing is changing or nothing happened. But usually something does happen. It just doesn't always happen in that area of your life. Like for you, for instance, it happened in your body, right? Like that your body responded. So a lot of times I see people getting sick more frequently when they're not following their intuition, or sometimes getting injured. And it's not that the universe or something or God or whatever is punishing you. It's just that when we follow our intuition and we are in alignment, then life can flow the way that it's meant to. Like synchronicities can happen, opportunities can come to us. We can think of creative solutions. We can be really creative. We shine really bright. We magnetize more things. We manifest more things. Whenever we ignore our intuition or don't follow our intuition, or like you are sharing with this example, going back on your intuitive decision, it takes us out of flow with the universe, number one. But number two, it also takes us out of integrity with ourselves. And because intuition is us, it's like our deepest knowing, it's our heart's inner wisdom. When we don't follow it, we're essentially saying, I don't trust you to ourselves. And if we don't trust ourselves, then it's hard to trust anything in life because everything starts with trusting yourself and following through with what you know you should do and what you say you're going to do.
Yes.
And when we don't do those things, we start not trusting ourselves. And it really has, like I've seen in so many clients, has an insane domino effect. Like you think, oh, it's not a big deal. My intuition's telling me that I should really put out this creative project right now, but it's fine because I have other things going on and this doesn't make any sense. So I'm not going to do it. And it's like a ripple effect. Like then you don't do the next thing and then you really don't trust yourself. Then you start to feel bad about yourself and you don't know why, like, because most people again, aren't connecting it. And then you just feel like depressed or like anxious, like anxiety is a huge thing when you're out of integrity with yourself. And then of course you get into an analysis paralysis loop and then it's harder to even follow through on the next thing. And then the next thing, and then the next thing. And it's so interesting because a lot of times when people come to me, it's because of that ripple effect. Like they didn't trust themselves and their intuition 10 years ago. And then it just kept dominoing. And then they, again, they're not thinking these are things are all connected. They're just thinking like, my life doesn't feel right. I'm not happy. I don't know what's going on. And all along the way, your intuition is still trying to reorient you and get you back into the flow and get you back into alignment and in integrity with yourself. So whether you hear this conversation and you're thinking of it in terms of a really spiritual aspect of intuition, or you're thinking of it in terms of just like a personal transformation, like staying in integrity with myself and being able to trust myself and doing what I say I'm going to do. Either way, when you don't do those things, life responds, your body responds. And usually the response is something feels off. It doesn't feel right. And then it starts to escalate from there.
Yeah. I think a lot about your path, right? So what you're saying is when you don't trust your intuition, you veer off of that path. And it's kind of like connect the dots of how the universe is going to get you back on it, because it will. Like ultimately.
Well, it's trying to.
Yes, it's trying to. But ultimately, you know, the things that aren't for you, there will come a time when divine timing, quote unquote, rushes in and makes the decision for you, right?
Maybe.
By maybe removing something or.
Yes, but even when that happens, even when something more, let's say, kind of catastrophic happens, I still see people not connecting the dots and not making changes.
Yeah.
In those moments. I think the thing is just to think about anytime anything difficult happens, just pausing and being like, okay, what's going on here? Am I off my path? Has my intuition been calling me to do something? And I keep ignoring it, keep ignoring it, keep ignoring it, keep ignoring it.
I like to think about time a lot. I like to think about the past and different ways that if I would have taken this different road, like when I moved back to Kansas City, I didn't know why I was being called to do that. I didn't want to do it. I had so much hesitancy because I was embarrassed, because I had always said like, oh, I would never live in Kansas City. You know, like I'm going to get out of the Midwest and I'm never going to go back there. And I had to let all of that go to do it. And I like to joke with my husband because we grew up living in the same neighborhood, going to the same schools, riding the bus together, being in youth group together. And we never liked each other or gave each other the time of day. And then literally the day after I moved back to Kansas City, I saw him at a bar. We somehow reconnected. We weren't even friends on Facebook. And we've been together ever since. So when I think about divine timing, it's like if I would have come back 4 months earlier, he was in a relationship and living with someone.
Or 4 months later, like would you have even cross paths?
It all kind of happened. It's strange because the day I woke up knowing I have to leave this city was the week that he was like, okay, I'm finally going to leave this relationship.
Yeah. What a perfect example of, yes, it doesn't make sense, but you also don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And also, I'm always telling my students when I'm teaching them in my course, Intuition and Beyond, I'm always telling them, usually, not all the time, but I would say the majority of the time, if intuition is guiding you just to do something, it is time dependent. And you will lose out on something if you don't do it. And so when all of these people, and maybe like some listeners are feeling this too, like when they're saying, whatever, it's not a big deal, I'm just going to ignore it this time because I'm scared to, or because it doesn't make sense, or because people are going to think I'm crazy, or because it's hard. Like that is time dependent a lot of times. And there is something you're missing out on, and you are veering off path every time you do that. And it's not to say something terrible is going to happen to you, but it's like you're, I mean, what is for sure happening is you're missing out on the amazing things that could happen if you were to just take the leap and trust yourself and your intuition.
Are there any things that you are particularly glad for that took longer than you wanted them to?
Oh, yeah.
You knew something was going to happen and you wanted that timing to come, and it was just like, nope, not yet. No, not yet. And now you're so glad it worked out that way.
100%. I mean, with so many things, the thing that comes to mind as the biggest, though, is the success of my business. Like when I started my new business in 2018, 2019, I mean, it was really 2019, I wanted immediate, massive success right then. And it didn't come. It didn't come. I mean, I had trickling success and like these kind of green light signs from the universe of keep going, keep going. But I wasn't getting the success that I wanted. And that was really hard. And I was really upset. And it was exactly what I needed because I was still in an energy that I was in my last career of just like running full speed uphill to try and reach this pinnacle of success. When I first started this business, what I sort of said is like, okay, I don't want to do this business like I did my last career. I don't want to hustle. I want everything to be super easy, flowy. I want to be really regulated. I want things to just happen for me. I want to easily manifest. And I didn't realize at the time, but I was describing it actually a totally different person than the person that I was. Like I was saying, I want to be a different person. And so, of course, that can't come overnight. Like, if I want success to be easy and flowy, and I want to feel really confident and embodied, I have to become that. And so it didn't come right away.
Which takes time.
It takes so much time, and the success didn't come. And because it didn't come, I actually had so much more time to become the person and do more inner work and reprogram my mind and my body and become more embodied. And then, you know, now the success is coming, but now I'm the person that I wanted to be for that kind of success to happen. So this, I think this happens a lot where we want certain things, but we don't think about, oh, actually, in order to get that, I have to be a different person. Like I see this a lot with people that, let's say they make 100,000 a year, but they want to make a millionaire. They actually have to become a totally different person. Million dollar version of them, $1 million a year version of them is a different person than $100,000 version of them. And so you have to go through the transformative process to manifest that. And so sometimes when we're thinking about like divine timing or like, why isn't this happening? It's not that it won't happen. It's just that, wait a minute, who do you have to become for that thing to actually come in? And that's where a lot of your focus should be is like, okay, this thing that I want, I'm not actually really the kind of person right now that would manifest that because I have blocks and beliefs that block it and my nervous system's dysregulated and all the things. So if I really want that, I have to change myself for that to come in.
And sometimes you have to change literally what you do on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being in LA traffic, talking to my mom on the phone and crying because yet another stupid guy proved that he was stupid and not dateable in LA. And I was like, Mom, I know I'm supposed to have this life partner. I've always known that, like, I'm gonna have this partner that is gonna start my life with me. Like, it's all gonna start over. And it's just not happening. And I was so frustrated, but I had to change the location I was in for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had to decide, okay, what's more important, being here and following this career that I think I'm supposed to be doing, or admitting that maybe I really want to settle down with someone and I know that's not here.
Right. And not to say that there aren't people that would have been appropriate in LA.
Yes, but not for me.
Exactly.
Not for me.
Yeah.
And the life I was living at the time, it wasn't conducive to a relationship at all.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like when we have these desires, our intuition will ultimately lead us to manifest them, but not if we don't follow our intuition.
Yeah, of course. So it might be easy for you and I to say that this is doable, but for someone just starting out and really trusting the timing of what their intuition is telling them, what kind of tools do you use and suggest?
Yeah, so first of all, I have a course called Intuition and Beyond. Literally everyone in the world should take this course because I teach you not everyone's intuition comes in the same. And so I help you discern how your specific intuition is coming in. And then once you can hear it and discern, this is my intuition, not a thought, not fear, not emotion, not urgency, not trauma, but actual intuition. Then, once you've been able to discern that your intuition, then I teach you like how to start following it. Also, if you haven't listened to the 2025 energy update, I'm going to put that in the show notes because one of the major themes of this year is intuition more than any other year. So it's great that we're having this conversation because it's so important. It's going to become more important as time goes by that you can tap into your intuition. And partially what I mean by when I say important is that like you're going to start feeling it more when you don't follow it. Like 2025 this year, if you think of the last years, it's like it's a tiny little flame that just got lit. So if you don't follow it, it's like whatever, maybe you notice it, maybe you don't. This year that just turned into a bonfire, and if you don't follow it, you're going to feel it more and more and more, like you're really going to feel it. So, listen to the 2025 energy update and also get on the wait list for Intuition and Beyond. Both of those are in the show notes. What I would say, you know, that's a 16-week course. So obviously there's so much to this, but what I would say for people listening to just even get started is first of all, start tracking your intuition. Like if you feel like, oh, okay, I think this could be intuition, write it down. Usually those will come in like a sudden thought or idea or something that comes out of nowhere that doesn't make any sense. A lot of times those come in when you're doing a activity that you're used to doing, but you don't have to think about, like walking or doing the dishes or taking a shower or driving. A lot of times ideas or something will just pop in. Your brain is going to hijack that and immediately say, that's crazy, that's a thought, that's stupid, and discount it. But what you're going to do is you're going to say, hold on, wait, what if this is intuition? And then start writing it down. And then you'll notice, usually, if it's intuition, it'll come in multiple times. For some more than others, it depends on like how open you are to receiving your intuitive guidance, but write it down and then start just following it. Like the only way to build your intuition and to strengthen your intuition is to follow it. I mean, there are practices that I give you and everything in Intuition and Beyond. But ultimately, every time you have an intuition to do something and you ignore it, you're dulling that radio signal. Versus every time you choose to follow it, you're strengthening the radio signal. So, what I tell people is, okay, so you just had a big intuition to make this big move, but you're too scared to. Ask your intuition for something smaller so you can at least start building your intuition with little small actions and start building that trust muscle. And you build the trust muscle by following through and then seeing what the outcome is. And I do want to caveat that sometimes maybe you follow your intuition, but the immediate outcome is hard. Like if you have an intuition to move, that could feel hard at first, right? Because it's like a big thing to move. You have to move all your shit. During the process, you might be like, this is really hard to move my stuff. My intuition was wrong. What I always want to say is wait, just keep waiting because sometimes the outcome of your intuitive action isn't immediate, but you will always see eventually that it massively worked out to your benefit.
Don't go back on it like I did.
Oh yeah, and for sure, like you'll miss the advantage of the outcome and the magic and the manifestations if you go back on it.
Yeah, totally. When you are feeling unclear and you're not really getting a specific on timing, what are some ways that you can dive into what your intuition wants you to know about timing? So, like, I follow the lunations. And I know that there are certain times when I'm not going to want to make a huge decision based on astrology and the moon. Those are things that I use. What are some ways that you tap into it when you're really feeling a lack of clarity?
Well, first of all, lack of clarity is normal. Sometimes there's just an in-between where things are coalescing and we don't know what the next move is going to be. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. A lot of times just waiting will result in clarity. But in those times where you maybe feel blocked or you feel like something's going on in your life where you don't want it to be going on, or you're uncomfortable and you feel like you're not getting any guidance or you're not getting any spiritual support or that kind of thing, one of the first things I suggest doing is getting really quiet or clearing out the clutter in your mind and in your life. Like a lot of times the reason you're not getting, you don't have clarity or you don't know what's going on is because there's so much noise. Like you're listening to 50 podcasts a day. You're talking to everybody else about what you should be doing. You are doing a million things. You're super busy. You're not getting a lot of sleep. So all of that is jamming the radio signal.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is make sure the radio signal is open and clear. And the way you would do that is decreasing the busyness in your schedule, not taking in so much information. Like that is so huge. Like stay off social media for a day. Don't listen to any podcast for a day. It's actually crazy. If you don't really pick up your phone, don't listen to podcasts and stay off social media for one day, how much will clear? You will clear so much, especially if, let's say, you can even fit a walk in that day. Doing something like that to make sure that you're even open to receiving your intuition, because if you are scrolling, talking to everybody else about what you should do, I mean, you're just like jamming the signal. Like this, it can't even come in. That's the number one thing. Number two is, you know, I think just having like a really big, and by the way, again, I have so many of these in Intuition and Beyond, some guided practices as well to get clarity. But because you don't have those, another one might be journaling for like a long time, like an hour. And that will also help to clear the noise. And a lot of times while you're journaling, you can start to get clarity and insights to come through. I feel like I just want to leave it at those two things for right now, because I feel like even those are enough to start to clear the channel and start being more open to receiving intuitive guidance and information.
Mm-hmm. And making the connections with, you know, the emotions that you feel, the physical sensations that you feel. Like you were talking about earlier, I tend to get sick when I am not on my path or when I'm avoiding. I know that because I have tracked it for a very long time.
And actually, I want to speak to that too, because it feels like there's a subtle difference between that and what you were mentioning earlier. Like, because you asked me, when have you had an intuition, but then gone against it?
Yeah.
And neither one of us felt like they've really done that. But I think that there's another layer here of having a, maybe not a clear, like you need to do this, but having a deeper layer of, I need to pay attention to this, or I need to address this in my life. And it's like an under, it's not a clear, like, do this exactly. It's more of an underlying feeling that you have an issue in your life that you're not addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intuition too. And that's where like a lot of this kind of narcolepsy and avoidance can come in, and is in terms of like, that feels like too much or too big right now. I don't really want to deal with that. And then you just,
I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. You don't want to deal with it. That's almost always what comes up. It's like, I don't want to deal with it. And of course, a lot of times that's not even conscious. It's unconscious. It's like the emotion comes up, the problem comes up, and then there's an immediate clamp down on it that's happening inside of you. I don't want to deal with it. And that is a different, it's a deeper like layer, but it's also intuition that's rising up. And like you were saying, like when you avoid that, those deeper issues, because you don't want to deal with them, that's when you'll get sick. So that's like another form of intuition trying to rise up.
Yeah.
But a lot of times those are bigger problems in our lives, and they feel so overwhelming that we so quickly shut it down that it's almost like the specific intuitive guidance doesn't even have a chance to make it through, because we're so quick to push it away.
I mean, if I could tell you all of the times that I have needed to leave something in my life and I have wound up in the hospital because I continue on with weird things, Stephanie, you know this. Like, I almost died from a UTI and I quit my job very soon after that because it was a wake-up call. To me, I knew I was not in the right career. I knew I was not doing what lit me up and made me happy, or even what I was supposed to be doing. But I just didn't want to deal with it yet. You know, like, ugh, I don't have time for that right now.
So that is a good example then of, so like for you, because earlier you said like you do always follow your intuition. So like is the way that I describe that correct in terms of like you always follow your intuition when it's super loud and specific?
Yes, when it is direct and telling me, like, this is what to do, you need to do it.
Yeah, okay.
Or this is who you need to leave. But when it's vague, as in, like, you're not on the right path right now, you are veering off again. Like, you were there and now you're veering off and you're making some decisions that are going to make it harder for you to get back on the path. So I'm just going to give you a quick wake up right here, and my body knows that I respond to my body very, I'm very sensitive. I get injuries when I am not on the right path. I have very odd health issues that spring up out of nowhere, and then just as quickly as they came, they're gone, and I know that I have a new direction.
Yeah, and I just for the listener, take a minute to apply this to your life and figure out like where that might be for you. For you, that might be maybe your business all of a sudden slumps, or all of a sudden you have a lot of contention in relationships, or you know, you get into like a little car accident, or you start feeling anxious. I mean, I think sometimes just like feeling anxiety or depression or confusion or lack of clarity. Or like for I think for a lot of women, digestion issues will happen, or stress in your jaw or your shoulders or your neck or your back, tension. Like these are all ways that your body and your life are trying to cue you into like something is a little bit off. And that is I think this is probably like more common than not that people do this, that there's issues in their life or things in their life, and they know deep down that something's off. And I think what happens is that because it feels so big, and because we don't know what else we would do, or we don't have an immediate solution, or a solution feels so hard, we avoid it, and then things fall apart in time. Maybe sometimes not even right away, but in time, they fall apart in certain ways. And again, going back to the beginning of our conversation, like thinking about trying to connect the dots, because it's not always like for you, like it's health. You needed to leave a job and then your body shut down. So it's not like you need to leave a job and then your job's going to fail. Sometimes you can maybe have a intuition that you should leave your job, but your job is thriving and you have so much money and success. And so you think, well, there's no way I should leave this job. The universe is showing me that I have so much success here. And at the same time, your marriage is failing and you can't sleep at night and you have back pain or whatever. It's like, it's a lot of times it can be in another area of your life that life is trying to show you that it's not right.
Yeah, and it's literally slowing you down. It's stopping
Yeah.
you.
Yeah,
I say
exactly.
that a lot when it comes to like my physical. I tend to get in accidents a lot, like hurt myself, like literally hurt myself when I am maybe doing that, like veer off the path again, and it will stop me. It
Yeah.
will
Yeah.
stop me because I also think that I tend to push myself
Beyond what you should.
beyond what I know I should. And so it takes my body being like, no, we're actually not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
But I do find that it tends to be when I start getting really busy again and I'm not taking the time to listen to myself,
Yeah.
just like you were saying. And it takes my body saying, okay, stop. We're going to make you stop. So you have to listen.
Right.
But like you said, it can happen in so many different ways for people. It could be that your car keeps getting broken into.
Right.
It could be that, you know, like things are literally being taken away from you.
Yeah, I have an episode on this. It's called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People and How to Trust the Universe Again.
I love that.
It's talking about how like the universe is always trying to kind of reorient us amongst other things, but I think that I'll put that in the show notes for people, but I think that's a great follow-up to this conversation in terms of, because a lot of times we can think like, oh, I just got in a car accident, I just hurt myself again, or my fit health is failing, and then we just feel like I'm a good person, why are bad things happening to me? And instead of asking, how could this be working to my benefit? How my life, God, the universe be reorienting me? We go right into victim mode and feel like nothing's working out. We don't try and connect the dots. We just feel we shut down. We think nothing's working out for us. When a lot of times it's like just a loving universe or guides or whatever you believe is just trying to bring you back home to your path, which is like your path is always where you're going to have the most joy and happiness and manifestations. And life is trying to lead you back there. But what is life supposed to do when you're running 200 miles an hour up a mountain and it can't get your attention?
Yeah, it has to detour you.
Exactly.
It has to stop you. How have you known when it's time to leave someone, leave something that you couldn't imagine leaving?
I think the first, I can always feel it in my body at first. I feel like there's a loss of resonance. Whatever it or the person was, I'm not, it's like I'm no longer vibing with it. It's not lighting me up. It's not making me feel good. It start a lot of times that thing or situation might start draining me, or I'm not excited about it anymore. I would say that's usually the first sign for me is how I'm feeling with that person or thing or in that situation. And then I also will tend to get a lot of extra intuitive information in terms of, I mean, I of course like have all of these skills and these ways to connect in a deeper way with my intuition. And then I will use those to find more information about like, okay, why isn't this working out? What's not working out here? When should I leave it? How should I leave it? Because that's the beautiful thing about intuition, especially when you become very intuitive. It's not like your intuition is just going to say, like, okay, leave your career. And then intuition is going to bounce and not guide you the rest of the way. Intuition can give you all of the steps. It can give you when to leave, what to start pursuing next, how to do that. Like intuition can is there to support you with every single tiny itty bitty thing, as long as you're asking and you know how to receive it, and then follow through with it. So, but yeah, I would say almost always I can feel that there's it doesn't light me up anymore. It doesn't excite me.
Yeah, and you can't get that back.
That's a good question. Sometimes, I think sometimes, like with, let's say, with a creative project, for instance, I had a dental podcast before I started The Magic of Transformation, and the dental podcast was totally draining me. I was like not interested in it anymore. So I let go of the dental podcast, but then I realized I could get back an excitement about podcasting, but it needed to be on a different topic. Like it needed to be about transformation, right? So then I eventually started the Magic of Transformation podcast. So I think with certain things, it's not always the whole thing is off, but part of it is off. You know, I help when I'm helping people with their career, the majority of people that go through my career workshop don't actually leave their career. They just change a lot of things within their career, and that reignites a excitement. And some people will even come into your life's work, my career workshop, and they'll say, I want to leave my career. And then through the course of the workshop, they'll realize, wait, it wasn't my whole career that was off. It was just like these aspects. And they get clarity on that. And then they can change those things. And then the excitement does come back. So I think there are definitely like, yes, sometimes, and that's where also you can tap into your intuition and be like, okay, is there a way I can just modify this or change it to where I can reignite that excitement or come back into energetic alignment or energetic resonance with this? I think though, when it comes to relationships, that's interesting because I found that rarely can I reignite energetic resonance with relationships.
Mm.
Usually when I fall out of energetic resonance with someone, and I tried, like in the beginning, when I started transforming a lot, I started falling out of resonance with a lot of people because all of a sudden the gossip they were doing, like whenever we would get together, they would just be like gossiping or complaining or commiserating. And that was a fucking bore for me. I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to talk about life or transformation or what I was doing that was exciting me or lifting me up. Like I didn't, to me, that just felt like it was lowering my vibration and making me feel weighted and dense. And, you know, it's funny thinking back to old versions of me where I would have these conversations with them where I'd be like, hey, I want to maintain this relationship with you because I love you so much and I care about you. I just don't want to talk about these things. So can we talk about these things? But they weren't interested in those. Like they were at the frequency where they want to gossip and they want to commiserate, and that's what they want to do. And
that's what they know how to do.
Exactly. And when I tried to kind of pull them in this different direction of the resonance of the frequency that I was at, and I was like, let's talk about how things are going well in your life, and let's talk about where your successes are and celebrate those. They couldn't. It was like, ugh, I don't know how to do that. And so we just fell out of resonance. Like, and so after a year or two of trying to force relationships, I stopped doing that because I realized it just never works. Like when you really are out of energetic resonance with people in your life, if you continue to be with them, they're always going to drain you. You're always going to feel drained after you've reached that point. Now, I will say, like with family, for instance, I don't connect with my family members in the way that I used to, but I didn't want to leave my family. Like I still wanted to maintain a relationship. So I found that with my family members, the way that I've been able to maintain a relationship is like, I have a lot of fun with them when we're playing games.
Mm.
And when we're having fun. So for me, I prefer to be with my family when that's what we're doing. So I was able to like navigate and find ways that I felt like I still could connect with them and be in resonance with them. And so especially like vacations and stuff where I know there's going to be a lot of games, like those are the ones I'll try and go to because that's like how I can still connect. And then I just to add one more thing to that, I think in a romantic partnership, I've also seen exceptions to this just in my own experience of if I start to fall out of energetic resonance with my partner. And just to be clear, when I say energetic resonance, really what I mean is like, it's just like you stop vibing, you stop feeling drawn to the person. It feels like you're really different all of a sudden.
That connection is interrupted.
Yeah. It's like, we're not connecting like we used to, but I don't know what's off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do a lot of personal transformation. So I evolve really, really fast. And there's been moments in my relationship where I've started to feel like there's a big gap between me and my partner. And I'm like, ooh, I feel like I'm like transforming so fast that I'm starting to feel like there's less of a connection. And when I've been able to tell him that, in every time he's really stepped up and sped up his transformation by doing certain things. And then I feel us coming back into connection and resonance. So yeah, I think there are exceptions, especially for like if the relationship is really important or sort of destined, there's ways to reignite that. But a lot of times I found in relationships, there's not, and it's better to just let go.
Yeah. When you have that knowing.
Yeah.
When you receive the knowing, and if that knowing is, we should not be together, sometimes you have to listen to that.
You're talking about with a romantic relationship?
Yes. Yeah. Like you can try to reestablish that connection, but sometimes once you have that intuitive hit of like, no, we are absolutely not supposed to be together.
Yes.
I have never found that there's coming back from that.
100%. I mean, and my relationship previous to my current relationship is a great example of that, where I realized this was years ago. So I was like, it took me a long time to realize that I was totally out of resonance and connection with my partner. But once I realized, hold on, I don't even like, there's not even really a connection here anymore. I had an immediate knowing of,
yeah,
this is not it. And to me, there was zero point or purpose to trying to reestablish a connection because my intuition was so abundantly clear that this is not the person for you. So yeah, if you're getting that messaging, I mean, do not waste your time, no matter what kind of relationship that is, or if it's a situation, like if you're getting a clear indication, clear signs, clear intuition that it's over, it is going to drain you like you wouldn't believe if you try to reestablish a connection with whatever that is.
Yeah. And it won't be the connection
that you want
that was there before. Yeah.
Yes. It won't be the connection that was there before, and it will not be what you want. And it, I mean, ultimately it won't work. If your intuition is telling you like move on and you don't, you're just going to prolong your own suffering. It's funny because a lot of times I see people not moving on because they don't want to suffer because they think moving on is going to be so painful. But then what they end up doing is being in more pain for longer because they force it, try and make it work, try and make it work, try and make it work, try and make it work for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they end up having to leave. And it's like, wow, how would that have been to leave 2 years ago when you got that intuition?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I ask Patrick that all the time. He lived with someone before we were together, and he was like, yeah, I was happy for maybe 4 months of living together. And then I absolutely hated every second of it. And I was like, why didn't you just end it? He was like, I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to have to like deal with the drama. And it was easier for me to act like a roommate and try not to be there. But in the long run, then that hurts the other person more as well. You're not wasting your time only, you're wasting that person's time too.
Yeah, it's highest and best for all in the situations where you're getting an intuition to leave. It's better for the person or the situation that you're leaving also. And it's really hard to see that at the time, because especially if you have like codependent tendencies or enmeshed tendencies, or you're just the kind of person who doesn't want to deal with things, you might think you're being nicer or things are easier if you just stay. But ultimately it's not good for the person you're staying with, or even like the job you're staying at. Like no one benefits in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So now, reflecting back on all of this, what I'm hearing you say is the only way to really trust in your intuition is to surrender.
When we're in the energy of surrender, we're more receptive to our intuition and we can hear it more. And then in order to really, going back to where we started, in order to take trust falls and trust that our intuition is guiding us in the right direction, back on our path, and that it's going to work out for our benefit, we have to surrender and we have to trust our intuition.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have some energy of surrender, it's going to be really hard to trust your intuition, because you're not going to be willing to trust fall.
Yeah.
And that's where I think building up your capacity to surrender goes hand in hand with your trust muscle. Every time you trust your intuition, you're also in an energy of surrender and saying, I don't understand this, but I'm going to choose to trust it. And then each time you do that, it builds more and more and more. And as your trust muscle grows, so does your ability to surrender. And coming from experience, let me just tell you, it's so much better to live in a constant state of surrender versus a grippy, controlling, fucking pissed off when things don't go how I want them to. Like that was how I very much used to feel. And it creates so much anxiety and analysis paralysis and anger and shutdown and depression, versus moving into that state of surrender and open receptivity and listening to your intuition and then following through with it. It's like, you just feel like I feel like I'm just constantly being pulled and guided versus having to work hard, push and force.
Mm-hmm. And constantly be blocked.
Yes, because that's what happens when we can't trust, fall, and surrender. We will often feel like we're blocked.
Yeah. So everyone really needs to get out of the gym to work out, and we need to start working out our trust muscle.
That's right. Go to Intuition Gym.
Yeah.
And sign up for Intuition and Beyond in the show notes.
If you liked today's episode, share it with a few friends that you think could benefit and leave me a 5-star review wherever you listen. Thank you for doing that. I so appreciate you. And don't forget to follow or subscribe to the show so you don't miss future episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.